This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
This will be released on the 19th of December.
Right, okay.
19th. That's next week. Me and our brains, Ben's got a newborn baby. I'm going through the menopause and our brains combined. It's just a freaking disaster. So,
well, let's just be calm. Take some breaths.
Okay. Thank you.
Through the nose. Feel the air going through the nose. Feel the sensation. And then calmly release through the mouth. And let's be present.
Thank you. Thank you. I've needed awesome. That for the last 4 and a bit years, and I'm not even joking.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realising that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think therefore just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you here. We hope your December is going amazingly and you're listening to this now, probably just ahead of Christmas. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. You can call me Shaz. This will be my 5th Christmas without booze. And let me tell you, it's an absolute gift. It is an absolute gift. Oh, it's so, so good. Who knew you could remember December and enjoy it? It's brilliant. A lot of people say to me, in fact, I was only asked this week, how bad did it get? How much did you drink? Too much, too fast, too often. And I sort of turned around mid-40s and found that alcohol had well and truly bitten me on the arse. Took a break. Fully intended to get back on it, yet here we are, hurtling towards my 5th Christmas without the booze. Hands down, the best thing I have ever done. Absolutely life-changing. I could wang on about it for hours. And in fact, we do, week in, week out, don't we, Ben?
Every single week without fail. Hello, my name is Ben. I am 34. I live in Liverpool. I'm a dad to Leo. He is 11 weeks old when this comes out. I'm also soon to be stepdad to Alfie and Millie because Jem is my fiance and we're getting married next August. I gave up booze 2.5 years ago. It's coming up to 2.5 years. It'll be 2.5 in January, I think. You kind of lose track, don't you, after a while?
You do.
I gave up in early July 2020. So does that mean February? Oh, I don't know.
Soon
to be 2.5 years alcohol free. And you know what? I cannot wait for a alcohol free Christmas day. This weekend, it's going to be fabulous because obviously Leo's only little, so he's not doing that 5 o'clock in the morning wake up thing. But Millie is, she's 9, and Millie will be bouncing into our room on Christmas morning. Oh my God, he's been. And you know what? How many Christmases, Shaz, have you started where you've opened your eyes and the first thought is, oh God, why did I have so many drinks on Christmas Eve last night?
Oh God.
Like, that was my Christmas day.
Oh God.
The first thought on Christmas day for years and years and years. And now I love an alcohol-free Christmas. It is just, like, I mean, it's cheesy, isn't it? But you're right, Sharon, it is a gift.
Honestly, it is a gift. It's very, sounds a bit wanky, but it's true. It's true. Sorry for saying that word, soz.
She's very rude, very rude.
It's very,
right,
very
let's
true.
Let's introduce our guest before you start spouting any more naughty words, Sharon Hartley. You are firmly on Santa's naughty list this year for using the word wanky.
I've been there for a very, very long time. Hopefully I'll be off it in time for the big day. You may have heard a little snippet of our guest just calming us down, just getting us to take a moment. Hang on. I'm liking this.
So simple,
already.
But it works so well, doesn't it? That
honestly,
like, it really is something you can just do any time. Like, it just, I mean, just breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth.
Maybe we won't spend the next hour doing that because we won't have any discussions at all. It'll just be us heavy breathing on a podcast, which would be really weird. Okay.
Different show.
I can't wait to get into this chat today, Ben. He's a guest called James Moon. He is from a group called Fancy a Walk, Mate, which is absolutely brilliant. And you know when people say, and excuse me, I'm going to say it again, it's another bit, it's a little bit wanky, your vibe attracts your tribe. I just knew when James got in touch with us over the influence, I knew he'd be right up our street. James Moon, welcome to OTI.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Shaz and Ben. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It means the absolute world to me. And I just want to express a level of gratitude to you guys from my heart, just to say thank you. Honestly, thank you. It's amazing what you two do. And just to be a part of this community about sobriety and all the amazing, epic things in life that comes with being sober is wicked.
Yes, James. Love it.
Love that. Big up your bad self. That was really kind. James, we've got loads to talk about. We're going to talk about, of course, sobriety. We're going to talk about the work you do to help other men that might be struggling. And, of course, we're also going to talk about how you got here. So maybe let's start with that. Tell us a bit about you, where you're based, what you do.
Okay, so yes, I am James Moon, originally from a little town called Macclesfield in Cheshire. I now live in Glossop in Derbyshire, and I live there with my beautiful fiance. And to me, it's amazing because I'm closer to the peaks, I'm closer to nature, and that is where I want to be. I want to be in nature because nature provides so much for me. And it helps me to become grounded and it helps me to understand life. And from that, I can then go on and, you know, influence other people, just like you guys are doing. You're influencing positive messages. And that's what nature does to me. So the fact that I'm closer to nature is just mega for me. I'm 37 years old. I've been sober now. And you know what? I had to just recheck the little sober app because I don't take note of my sobriety anymore. And I'm 2 years and 3 months.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and life is beautiful. And I will use that word beautiful about 1,000 times in this podcast because men, more men should say the word beautiful and more men should tell other men that they're beautiful. It's an epic word and it means something. You know, it comes from the heart. And this is what this is all about for me. It's about how I've connected to my heart, how I've got to know myself through removing alcohol, through being in nature and just through expressing how I feel, you know. So yeah, 37 years old, 2 years and 3 months, mega. Life is just amazing because of that. Obviously coming on this podcast, you know, you have the moments where you sort of have these reflective moments on your drinking days. And, you know, I knew this question was going to come up. So, you know, I've been there driving along going, you know, let me think about my drinking journey and where it all started and how it all transpired and how I came out of it. And you know, I actually had a little laugh to myself because I look back at all the chaos and the destruction that I've caused through alcohol, and I'm just going to reiterate that that was through alcohol. You know, I look back at my life and all the negative things that happened in my life. Okay, not all of them, that's a bit of an overstatement, but the majority of the things that happened in my life that were negative were because of alcohol. It's as simple as that. And I think, why the hell did I ever put myself through that? Like, why would anyone ever want to do that? And that's because I wasn't aware. I just wasn't aware. I wasn't taught. I wasn't shown. You know, all I was shown was alcohol's cool. Let's have a drink. You know, that's what it's about. Let's have fun. You know, this is going to make you feel better. I was shown all the wrong side of alcohol. I wasn't shown the impact it had. And for me, I was lucky enough to meet what I'd like to call my guardian angel. And that is my fiance. I met her 8 years ago and she is the most influential person in my life that has helped me to just propel forward in life and to become this better version, this authentic version of myself. So I'm very, very grateful for her. And I just wanted to express that. She's amazing. She's wicked. So, you know, when I think back now to when it all started for me, and that's what it is, isn't it? Where does it all start? Why did I go on this journey? Today, I was thinking, well, my journey could have started from my birth, you know, and I had quite a traumatic birth, which I was made aware of as I grew up. You know, I was one of those babies that had the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck. It was quite traumatic, stressful. You know, apparently I nearly died and it was an emergency C-section. And I was actually listening to another podcast a few days ago about this and the impacts of children and how they are born and how it affects them later in life. And I'm like, well, maybe my journey started then because I was brought into this world under loads of stress and duress. Maybe that's why I went on this path of destruction. So then I go back to the first time that I ever took a drink. And that really hit a note for me because it sort of brought it all back. And I remember the feeling of how I felt. I'm very grateful for my upbringing. I had a wonderful, wonderful upbringing. I have got great, fantastic, supportive parents. And I'm lucky to still have those parents with me. I know some people don't have the parents and how difficult that can be. But I just wanted to say, you know, I love my parents dearly. And they've shown me a way in life that they only knew themselves. You know, our greatest teachers are our parents. And they showed me a way that they knew from their parents. And I'm grateful for what they've given me. You know, they showed me love, they showed me affection, and they supported us. So I just wanted to get that bit in. So then I look back at the first time that I took a drink and what drinking was like for me growing up. So my first drink was, it was on Christmas Day, actually, and it's quite pertinent that Christmas is coming up. It was on Christmas Day, and it was, I think I was, and you might be shocked at this, I was about 6 years old. It was my granddad who poured me a bit of red wine on the Christmas table while my parents were in the kitchen cooking because, you know, it was a fun thing to do. And I suppose this is the lack of education that adults have around alcohol is, you know, let's give the kids a drink because let's see what happens. You know, my granddad didn't know the consequence of his action or his choice right there and then. He just thought it was a funny thing to do. And I remember drinking the red wine. It must have only been a small glass. But I just remember standing up and trying to walk to the toilet. And I had my legs in the air, flipping. I was banging into walls. I was falling all over the place. I remember the reaction of those around me at that point. And I remember it being, everybody was sort of approving it. It was, oh, look at James. Oh, God, what are you like? You know, granddad giving him a drink. Oh, you know, look at him. He can't stand up. You know, it was almost gratified to be okay. And I remember the appreciation and the recognition that I got from my granddad. You know, my granddad was this beautiful person that I loved dearly. And he gave me this attention and everyone else was sort of joining in this event that happened. And it was almost like it made me feel special. I thought, wow, this is what happens when you have a drink. You know, you're right, you stumble around and fall over a bit, but everybody thinks it's cool and everyone's saying, you know, how good it is or whatever. And that was the first occasion for me. Now, from that, drinking for me and in my family has just been second nature. And I have to try and talk about this in a non-negative way because I do not judge people who drink. All I can do is share my knowledge and my experiences as of what alcohol has done to me and where it's taken me in life and why I no longer drink. So I don't look down at people that do drink because most people or a lot of people are okay with that, or they think they are okay with it. So, you know, for me, everything revolved around drinking. I remember then growing up, my parents would have parties below us and they would love to socialize and have parties with the friends. And we were all sort of kids upstairs that were, you know, listening to the music banging and we were dead excited. What's going on? And, you know, it just sort of like socializing became part of me. It became part of who I was. You know, then it would be like everything we ever did in life, funerals, birthdays, christenings, weddings, everything's drinking, everything revolves around drink. And that's still this case now for the majority of the world. When I say the world, there are actually a lot of countries that don't celebrate those things with alcohol. It just seems maybe it may be like, I don't know, England or whatever. I don't know. But
the Western world. The Western world,
exactly, Ben. You know, they celebrate with alcohol. So everything we did was always around that. And there was many, many good times. Don't get me wrong. We had fantastic times. You know, we liked to party in our household. We liked to dance. We liked to sing. And we still do. So then for me, it was like every time we had a family occasion, I think the next occasion I remember was probably about 12. It was at somebody's birthday. There was a punch table there, you know, this fruit juice, or I used to call it. So I'd be serving the fruit juice, this punch to everyone. Going, do you want one? Do you want one? No, one for me. Do you want one? Do you want one? You know, one for me. And next thing I know, I was spewing up again. But I got that recognition of it was a joke. It was fun. Look what it did. You know, James is acting all funny and look how cool he is almost, you know. And I just think that people just back then weren't aware of the impact that that was going to have on me. I've always throughout life had confidence issues. I'm 5'6", I think. And that's been a problem for me in my life. As a man, that's been a problem for me. And it's when I drank, I didn't have that problem. I wasn't 5'6" anymore. I was 6 foot James, who was a laugh, who got attention, who could, you know, everybody loved and wanted to be there, you know, the class clown, so to speak. From that young age, I got the association with what alcohol provided from a confidence perspective. It made me feel good. It got me recognition. As I grew older, partying came into the scene. You know, when I was going out to the pubs at like 16 and 17, I remember, and I am very aware that I'm trying not to bring my parents into this in a negative aspect. I know I've said it earlier, because that's what all they knew. And that, and they did give me great guidance in life. They helped me to get to certain things in life, which I'm very appreciative and grateful for.
But it's a societal thing, is what you're saying. You know, you're not putting blame on your parents here. This is a societal problem. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's really interesting what you said at the beginning of your story. It really reminded me, Shaz, of one of our very early episodes that we did with Drew Charles, where his quote was, "Every bad decision I ever made started with one pint."
Yeah,
and you said something very similar at the beginning of your story, James. And it's so true, isn't it? And it's something that we're very, very keen to make this distinction over the influence between the substance and the person. And it's because, you know, I look back when I was drinking and it got to the point where I was a classic binge drinker. You know, I'd go out for a couple of pints and end up having a couple more and a couple more on top of that. No off switch. And I'd say things. I'd wake up the next morning and I'd say things and I'd think, like, not just I don't remember saying that, but like I don't recognise the person that said that. Like, that is not something that I would say. It doesn't align with my values or the person that I am. It must have been the alcohol. It was the substance. It wasn't the person. It was the substance that was saying these things. And I mean, it wasn't, but it was. I think, you know, for me, I had a, you know, over the influence came into my life at the right time. But why did you decide then? So you're a few months after me. So you're kind of September 2020. You've grown up in this society that drinks, you know, very much birthdays, funerals, family events, whatever. What was the moment for you where you went, right, time to stop this now?
Wow. Yeah. Powerful question, Ben. I never thought it would stop. That's the thing. I never thought I had a problem with drink because, again, I wasn't aware of it. I always envisaged my life with alcohol, you know, socializing, holding these parties like my parents did. I wanted it. I wanted to be like that. It was only, for me, alcohol took me to the next level, so to speak, and that was getting involved with drugs. So it got me involved with cocaine. And I remember, again, the first time that happened, I was straight away hooked on the feeling of what it provided me. You know, it almost took that confidence boost to the next level. And that spiraled then into probably about 18 years of use of cocaine on a social level, on a weekend level, which then became quite regular throughout the week. And, you know, ultimately, I'd say that that was my demise, Ben, at the point of when I recognized I needed to make a change. You know, I had a relationship that thankfully I'm still in. And like I say, I call Laurie my guardian angel because she opened my eyes. She awoke, she wakened me up to what was going on. And we had a couple of really significant, dramatic events that happened in our relationship, which was the turning point for me, really. And I'd say my change started around about maybe 4 to 5 years ago. I had to squash my ego very quickly because alcohol and drugs massively fed into my ego and it was taking control of me. And I didn't like the person that I was. I didn't have any thought of the consequence of my actions. I didn't. I just rolled with it and I carried on rolling with it. And these bad events kept happening and they were regular. And then it'd be like, I'm not doing that again. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Right. Okay. I'm never doing it again. 2 months later, I'd be doing it again. And it's like, I do believe that we have to make repetitive mistakes in order to change. We can't, you know, we have to use the past as a lesson. It's there to teach us. It's there to provide us with the knowledge to go forward and change. And I think I've listened to a couple of your podcasts where you've spoke about a rock bottom. I don't think you had one, Ben. But I had a rock bottom, and it was that rock bottom that started this journey for me.
You know what, James? I'm just going to jump in there and say it makes my heart sing, in particular, when men of your age are able to change this, to turn this around. You're still in your 30s, okay? So in my opinion, you're a fabulous young man. You might not feel it some days, but you are. You've got it all ahead of you. 18 years of cocaine use, rock bottom with drugs and alcohol, and here you are now having turned everything around. And, you know, that comes with a massive disclaimer. We say this a lot on Over the Influence. Yes, you can remove drugs and alcohol. It doesn't remove life's problems. You know, shit still happens. It's how you deal with it, isn't it? But you should be so incredibly proud of where you are now as a man in your 30s, not only for yourself, but helping others who are trapped in that horrendous cycle of alcohol, cocaine, because it goes on and on and on. So every credit, James.
Yeah, it does, you know, and there's still people that I'm very close to that are still trapped in there. And all I hope is that through my actions and through my change and the way that I now express myself, you know, and the way that I hold myself as a man, I hope that they take something from that they can see that I've changed, and that might spark an interest off for them, because that's what it was for me. Something sparked and I had to make the change, and that's where my journey started. It was dipping your toes in the waters, I like to use that phrase. You start dipping your toes, it's a little bit cold. Next thing, you're fully submerged. And that's what happened for me. So it was about removing myself from the toxic situations and the people. It was about, and there was a phrase that I like to say, you know, change your playground, change your playmates. You've got to come away from the toxicity to be able to try and understand what's going on within. You've got to cut the bad shit out. Apologies for the swearing. You've got to change.
I said wanky twice earlier. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about it, James. You're amongst friends. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, you've got to change your setting. And then and then comes the real work. So it's like, right, what have I got to do to change? Well, I need to become more aware of what's happening for me. Why am I doing it? So I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went not even knowing I was an alcoholic. I went thinking that that's what I had to do to change. I went because that is what I need to do to get my missus to finally see that I'm changing and to like me. I didn't go because I thought I had a problem. But I remember my first ever meeting in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, you know, I built up this fear, and that's probably another whole episode we can talk about is fear. You know, I built this fear up around, you know, it's going to be like that scene out of Fight Club where they're all sat in that dingy dark room and they're all sat in a circle and it feels all really weird, and these people that are complete wrecks are just going to be, you know, crying and everything. And it wasn't like that. It was a room full of people that had a story to tell and an experience to share. And I remember sharing for the first time in that meeting, and it just felt liberating. Just felt like I'm telling somebody else that I'm an alcoholic, and I've not even told myself I'm an alcoholic yet. Hang on a minute, what's going on here? So then it starts to change your thought process, and then things start to change inside. So I experienced that, and I went through that, and I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. Then someone said about this big book and what it is, and it's a 12-step program, and I just didn't understand it, but I kept coming back, and that's one of the famous sayings, keep coming back, you know, and I kept doing it. And then I heard about Cocaine Anonymous. So then I went to one of those. And then next thing I knew, I'd met a few people that were sober and people that changed their lives. And these are people that are like me, who have gone through similar things. These are people who dress like me. You know, these are people who've got a job like me and drive a car like me. And I'm like, oh, right. So you don't have to be a down and out to be an alcoholic. You know, so that really opened my eyes up. Kept going, and I worked the 12-step program. And it basically exposed me to clearing out resentments, owning up to the things that you've done, saying sorry to people, making your amends, and calling upon a higher power. And for me, yeah, I do. I pray to God. I pray to God every night and every morning, because I think that's flipping cool. You know, God to me isn't, you know, I don't have to go to church every day. I don't have to preach on the street corner. I can just believe in something that is my higher power. And for me, that's God. And it brings me comfort. And I think, yeah, I went through the 12 steps. I completed the 12-step program. I cleared out a load of guilt and shame that was going on inside, because, again, in my past, I had episodes that have caused me a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of embarrassment, a lot of abuse, not only to myself, but to others. And I was able to clear that. And I do believe that if we hold on to all these things, then that's what makes us play out in all these crazy scenarios. And when you're fueled with alcohol, you can't control your alcohol. At 35, I started to become a real man. You know, I let go of the 14-year-old and 6-year-old boy that was within me. And, you know, I said, listen, mate, I'm going to have to let you go now, but I'll come back and play with you. I'm still going to have my childish moments, but I'm going to let you go now because I need to go and live my life authentically and lovingly, because otherwise I'm just going to be a complete mess. You know, so I then went on this awakened spiritual journey, I'm going to call it. And again, you know, you might have people listening that goes, wow, this is a bit woo-woo for me. But, you know, this is a guy that was one of the lads. This was a guy that was down the boozer all the time, that was getting smashed most weekends, that was, you know, being derogatory towards women and joining in with that laddish, maleish banter, you know, who's now changed his life. And I'm not going to say I found God, because that does sound a little bit cheesy, but I found something that works for me.
We are just going to take a very quick break from this fabulous episode, if we do say so ourselves, with James Moon. Really enjoying today's chat. Loads to share with you. James is going to be talking about one of his other passions coming up very, very shortly, which is all about the great outdoors, Ben. It's all about nature. It's about mountains. It's right up our hill, isn't it? Cannot wait for this. See, yes. See what I did there?
I do, and I liked it. It's a subject area that we know more about these days, Sharon Hartley, isn't it? After we've led some intrepid OCI explorers up the Yorkshire Three Peaks this year, Snowdon in the dark, which is ambitious.
I think it's really, really important. I jump in right at this moment, and just to confirm,
okay,
we did lead. I mean, we were there.
We were there. Yeah, we have leaders. And technically there. But I suppose, you know, I spend a lot of the time at the front of the OCI. So you've got the kind of, you know,
Natural born leader.
Yeah. But then also did, you know, you're only as fast as your slowest person, Sharon, when you're climbing these things as a team. Did often spend time looking back and go, oh, who's at the back? Right, I'm going to spend a bit of time with them, make sure they're all right.
And that's what it's about. It's about reaching back and helping others through this entire sober journey.
If you've got no idea what we're talking about, we started doing our Over the Influence in Real Life events this year, which has been a fabulous part of 2022, hasn't it, really? Oh. It's been one of the best bits that we've got people together in real life. And we just thought, right, we aren't very swanky as people. We're just a bit rough around the edges.
Not us.
We like getting dirt under our fingernails, me and Shaz. We're a bit grubby.
Literally.
And so we thought, well, rather than do like a swanky lunch, which, you know, we're going to do some of those next year, but the majority of our events in 2023 are climbing up mountains, rowing down rivers. We're doing Scafell Pike, which is England's highest peak. We're doing Ben Nevis. We're doing, what else are we doing next year?
We're all over the show. We're going south. We're doing the Edale Skyline.
Which is fabulous.
Oh, it's a beautiful walk. We've done Wales' highest mountain. Yeah, we're going to do England's. Actually, that one sold out, but we were able to bring in another guide, which means there are now more places available. We're doing Ben Nevis, and that's not just going up Ben Nevis with our qualified leaders. That's weekend accommodation as well, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. We are doing some rock climbing in the Peak District. I might dodge that one. Just stand at the bottom holding coats, holding ropes, holding the sandwiches.
I'm not good with heights.
I'm not great.
Me and you, we'll have one of our paddleboard meetings while everyone else is climbing rocks.
We'll have a picnic, Ben, I think.
That sounds good.
Picnic. I'll bring the soup.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's just, if we write an agenda, then it makes it feel businessy.
Completely. You bring highlighters.
Mini pork pies. Point B. Cucumber sarnies.
I'm there. Sign me up.
Point C of the agenda. Alcohol-free beers.
Perfect. Yeah. Absolutely. Bob on.
We are going off-piste, Sharon. So I see what I did there.
We're going off-piste.
That's more skiing than mountains. Anyway, if you want to join us on any of these events, then you can. Overtheinfluence.co.uk is the place that you need to go. They're amazing. It is just about getting together, connecting, chatting. And I love the walks in particular, because as a format, it's really nice because you're there for a really long time going up these bloody mountains and down again. So you just get to chat to loads of different people. We're all there for the same reason. We're all embracing the energy, the motivation that removing alcohol has given us. And we're doing daft stuff like climbing up Snowdon in the dark. If you want to be a part of that, then please do visit overtheinfluence.co.uk. And shall we get back to James to
Absolutely.
Talk about the outdoors?
We're going to chat even further now about the outdoors, about nature and about mountains.
And Shaz is going to watch that potty mouth for the second half of this interview. All right, Sharon?
I won't say the W word for a third time. I promise.
James, I want to ask you, you mentioned something then, you know,
yeah.
It took me till I was, did you say 35 to become a real man, was the phrase you used.
Yes.
What is a real man in 2022? You know, what is masculinity in 2022? The reason I ask, we were having this conversation today on one of our Zoom calls, and we were talking about how vulnerability is strength, not weakness, and how we wish that more men would be more open about how they're feeling. It was a lovely conversation. It's one of the things I love, actually, more than anything about the alcohol-free community, is that, especially for fellas, it feels like communities like ours, they're safe places where you can be yourself. Taking away the alcohol means that people are a bit more open to really talking about how they're feeling. What is masculinity to you? What does it mean to be a real man in 2022?
It's not about being a real man. It's just about being a man. And for me, that is a man who can freely express what's going on within, a man who can safely and compassionately talk openly about how they're feeling, a man who can look at another man in the eye and go, mate, everything's okay. I understand. I hear you. You know, I'm here for you. You're a beautiful person. A man is somebody who can break down the limiting beliefs that we all hold about what being a modern man is, and letting that go and inviting in love, because I believe love is at the center of everything that we should be doing. A man who can release his fear through expression of himself.
I wonder, it's a really interesting thing to talk about, because I wonder how many people would use the same words. If you ask stop the average bloke in the street, how many people would use those same words? You know what? For me, in a real simple way, because I found this as well. We all find ourselves changing, don't we, in sobriety? But, you know, it's that thing of, does a real man have a scrap in the car park outside a pub because some of the fella might have said something disrespectful about his missus? Or does a real man get his missus out there, take her home? You know, do you know what I mean? It's kind of, I wonder how many men would use the words that you've just used to describe what masculinity is to them.
Probably not very many, Ben, but you know, the James of 10 years ago would have been that guy in the car park scrapping. You know, everything would have been a reaction. And, you know, you're right. I talk about like men connecting back to the traditional values of what it is to be a man. And it's simple things like being courteous and kind. It's honesty, it's gratitude, it's kindness, and it's love. You know, these are the values of a man that I believe have been lost. They're coming back through, you know, groups like this, through so many other amazing groups out there. You know, men are seeing that it's okay to open up, that it's beautiful to express how you're feeling, because other men are becoming more aware and other men are listening intently for the first time. They're acknowledging another man's feelings. And they're helping, they're offering advice, you know, and that to me is what men, you know, should be about. It's about loving your partner as well, intently, not searching elsewhere to where you feel you can get better. Concentrating on what it is at home, you know, loving your kids compassionately, sitting with them, listening with them, asking questions. You know, I look back at my life and my relationship with my kids, and it was, everything was quick. Work is a whirlwind. Right. How are you doing? Right. Great. Yeah. Dad's too busy. Dad's got this on. Dad's, you know, slow down, take a step back and start to connect with your loved ones, because building those relationships with the people that mean the most to you will help you go forward in life and finding an enjoyment in life like you've never found before. You know?
Let's talk more about that, James. Let's talk about connection. Let's talk about nature. And let's talk about the mountains, one of my most favourite things as well. We could probably talk for another 3 hours about this because it's just ace, and it's a conversation that comes up time and time and time again. And a lot of the time, actually, it's fellas that come on this podcast and talk about their stories of recovery that have found nature, not exclusively men, but in a lot of occasions, that's what we've found, and it's utterly glorious. Talk to us about Luna and tell us about Fancy a Walk, Mate, because
definitely.
I love it.
Definitely. Yeah, so Luna Mountains was born out of my journey. It was born out of this, I don't want to say rebirth, it was just born out of this new authentic me. Luna Mountains is me. It's who I truly am. It's a platform that offers me a safe space to communicate and express who I am and use words that I may not have been able to use in my old life because I was feared of getting ridiculed. So Luna Mountains, it's about nature. It's about connecting to what's around us, and it's what's so freely around us. Nature has always been at the center of me. I believe that, you know, and I go back to my parents because they were very good advocates for getting out in the outdoors. You know, they'd often drag us around a walk every weekend, you know. Well, that sparked something for me. That connected me to nature. And I used to remember when I used to go out in nature on my own years ago, it would always be about how much weight can I carry on my back? How much pain can I put myself through? How quick can I get around this route? How quick can I climb this mountain? Because that's what's going to make me feel valued. That's what's going to make me feel like I've achieved something by smashing
myself
out. Exactly.
How masculine is that? I can do it quicker than everyone else.
Yeah, totally.
I can carry more stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, I had to prove something to myself. I'd have my head down and I wouldn't be missing out on all this beauty that was going on around me. But through this journey, I've slowed down, I've calmed down. And Luna Mountains was born because it was a connection to nature like no other. Nature is a healer. Nature listens. Some of my finest moments are in nature. Some of my finest ideas are in nature because I've allowed calm in. I've connected to the elements, connected to the movement of the trees, the sound of the wind, the feeling of the rain on my face, the cold air, the grass, you know, the mountains, the hills, everything I've connected to is allowing me some calm where I can have these amazing thoughts. Nature doesn't have an ego. When I get into nature, there's nothing there that requires an ego. I'm not being judged. I'm not having to prove myself. I'm just me. I'm James. I'm Luna Mountains. I'm at peace. I'm at one with everything that's going on. So I recognized the benefit that nature provided for me and what it provided in this new journey that I was on. And I'll be honest, I wanted to get men out in nature. I knew that it would help. I knew that just bringing in that level of calm would help people. It helped me. I'm proof, you know, I'm proof that it's evidence. It will help you. So I wanted to develop my passion of the outdoors and my love for hiking, mountaineering and climbing further. I didn't want to just become a normal walking group that gave people a chance to come on a walk. I wanted it to have a purpose. Fancy a Walk, Mate was then born. And why was it called Fancy a Walk, Mate? Well, I want to develop this community of men that can come out into nature in a space that I am going to show them that it's safe to come out. I'm going to show them that it's safe to talk about our past. It's safe to talk about what's worrying us. It's safe to say that I think that tree looks beautiful and I want to give it a hug and a kiss. You know, that there's no judgment, there's no fear, and we haven't got any requirement for an ego. So I wanted to get men in together with nature, and that was how this was born. You know, Mate for me is now about meeting people. It's about adventuring. It's about talking, and it's about evolving. And through the first three, we will evolve. And when we're in nature together, we will evolve, we'll grow, we'll understand, we'll develop, and we'll use the techniques that other men are using to bring into our own lives to just go on this beautiful journey of growth. And honestly, I'm just blown away by the amount of men that are reaching out, that are seeking out this opportunity. And that's what this is. It's an opportunity. Should you desire it, should you wish to take it, should you have the courage and the strength to turn up, to come and adventure in nature with men that are on that same journey. And there's so many men out there that are seeking it. It's beautiful, you know, and because I'm able to be authentic now, finally in my 37 years of my life, I can be authentic. I can talk like this without fear of being judged or ridiculed, because I'll be honest, I don't give a shit about what other people think of me anymore. When I was boozing, different story. God, that was the worst thing on earth, you know, and that's why I drank more, was to hide all that. But because I don't fear about that, because I can be authentic, it gives men the chance to see someone like me talking like this and going, well, if he can do it, so can I, surely, you know, someone else is doing it, you know, and he's 37.
That's
and
exactly it. Yeah.
You know, he's been on that journey and he's been where I've been. But look at him now. And it's just, we've got to show more men that it's okay to show love, that it's okay to say you're not okay.
Ben, absolutely. I want you to share with James one of your favourite sayings.
Oh, God. Which one? I've got so many.
I mean, you've got a lot, but about seeing it, about being it.
If you can see it, you can be it. I love that as a phrase. And you know, it's so true. It reminds me, we go camping every year with the same group of lads. And, you know, I look at my group of male friends and I'm incredibly lucky. Like, they're a really, you know, successful group of people. And I don't just mean that in terms of work. I mean, they've got great relationships. We've got great friendships. They're a really kind of sensible, stable, confident group of people. I'm really lucky to have grown up with them. You know, I've literally grown up with half of them because it's my brothers and my cousins. But then also, you know, friends that we met at university. We've got quite a big group of us who go now. We're always very open, you know, anyone who wants to come. We call it open invite camping. Anyone wants to come, yeah, come along. Absolutely fine by us. There's a lad who came for the first one and he said, I can't believe you guys do this. Like, we were just kind of being us and talking. And how are you, mate? And, oh, that sounds shit. And, oh, tell me more about that. And he goes, I can't believe that's what you do. Like, you guys talk like this. Like, if I sit around a fire with my mates from home, all we do is get pissed and take the piss out of each other. And sometimes you just need that, don't you? You just need that kind of the arm around to go, yeah, okay, we talk about football. We'll talk about FIFA. We'll also talk about how that thing really upset us in the news. Like, we're comfortable doing that with each other, and you can do this. You can be safe in this space. And that's why I think it's amazing what you're doing. It's sometimes I think people just need that. They want to do it. They don't necessarily know they want to do it, but it's there. It's in them. And they just need someone to go, it's all right to talk like this if you want to. It's
exactly.
Okay.
I guarantee that when you first meet another man, in a different environment, you know, what's the first thing that they'll say to you? What team do you support, mate? Well, you know,
or what do you do?
Yeah.
That's the other one. What do you do?
And it's like, I get that. I despise football. You know, I played so much football in my youth that it put me off. You know, and I don't watch it. It doesn't interest me. So it's like every time I have that conversation, it's like, oh, what team do you support, mate? You know, usually in years gone by, I'd have found that really awkward and I'd have to make small talk and make it all up and try and figure it out. But now it's like, it's finding that courage to go, you know what, mate, I don't actually follow football and it doesn't interest me. And the reaction you get from men for that, a lot of the times it's like they just look at you in shock. You don't know what to do. So, yeah, just by doing this, what we do in Fancy a Walk, mate, is we don't have to talk about football. You know, we can talk about the effect of the
Married
wind on
at First
college.
Sight Australia. Oh, sorry, you're talking about something really deep.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Trash TV. The new series of Love is Blind is out and it's fabulous.
Yeah, just anything. We talk about anything, and that's what is beautiful about these walks. We've just done one at the weekend, and we had 16 men turn up. This was the biggest amount we've ever had, and there was a lot of new faces. And, you know, I always start the walks off with a bit of a reading, and I make it very clear to the guys, like, you know, listen, guys, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counsellor. I'm just a normal bloke who's been through a bit of shit, who's taken a lot of drugs, who's drunk a lot of booze, who no longer does that now and has found a way of life that is beautiful. And I just want to share that with you. So I'll talk a bit about that and I'll set the standard, I'll set the scene just to relax people, really, because, again, it's about being authentic. And I do a little bit of a reading from a book that I get so much from, and it's called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. And I'll have picked something a few nights before that I've been reading and it's just come to me. And I'm a massive believer that you know, things come to us for a reason at certain times. So then I'll be like, wow, that's very pertinent for the walk on Saturday. So I'm going to talk about that. So I'll talk about that. And then I'll just share a bit of my story because I want men to hear my story and I want men to hear other men's stories. And then we set off. And the beautiful thing, right, is that these men who have never met each other in their lives, as soon as they park up and get out of the car, you can feel the energy. You can feel it. And I don't get involved at this point. I'm just getting my boots on and I'm looking around cheekily in the corner of my eye and they're all hugging, they're all embracing, they're all touching and connecting and talking. And I'm like, this is amazing. Then we have our little introductory sort of like reading and then we go off and the conversation from start to finish just does not stop. And you'll mix in and out of different conversations about different things. It could be religion, it could be sex, it could be relationships, it could be about your kids, your wife, your boyfriend. It could be about anything.
Could it be football? Because I do love football. Could it still be football? It's allowed.
Yeah, it's allowed, mate.
Great. You know, that's, okay. Yeah.
There's no topic of conversation that isn't allowed. You know, you bring up what you want to bring up, and it just never ends. And then we dip into a meditation, and this is just the most powerful thing that I've ever done on these walks is bring meditation into it. You know, I'm not a meditation guru. But what I do know from what I've done is that, again, it's just offered me a little bit of time to go within. And we light a fire. We sit around the fire in the woods. We get this. We set the intention. And I put on some music that I've selected the night before, again, because it's come to me. And I'm like, that's very relevant. And I'm going to create this little playlist of meditation music and whatever. And we meditate. And then the first time I ever did that, I was a little bit apprehensive of how it was going to go. And everybody was like, mate, that was amazing. He said, I've never done meditation before, but I want to know more. And they've started implementing this in their own lives. They've took it away from that day, that moment of beautiful peace. And they've implemented that into their daily lives. And I'm like, that is power. That is what it is to be a man. It's having the balls and the courage to take these things that we know are going to help us and implement them in your life. And I'll talk about sobriety. I'll talk about boozing and what it means to not drink anymore. And people will say, you look amazing. Your eyes are glowing and sparkling. Your skin's so clear. How do you, you're 37. I'm like, yes, mate. Wow, you look about 22. What's your secret? I'm like, stopping drinking is the secret. I'm telling you now, if you cut drink out of your life, everything in your life will improve. I could guarantee it. Because again, the proof is right in front of you, mate. It's here. I don't drink anymore. And my life has just gone like, boom, amazing.
I love that as a definition. You know, the idea that to be a man in 2022, it's about being yourself. Mm. Because being yourself, you know, not being embarrassed to like things or not feeling worried to talk about something because of how it will be perceived. You know, being a man is being yourself so that you can be your best self.
Yeah.
For the people who love you and people who are around you. I love that. Great.
James, we're out of time. I knew this would absolutely fly by, and I know that we could easily do probably another 7 hours with your good self. We've not mentioned Dan yet. Dan is sort of your other half that you do the fancy walk mate stuff with, because you had a story to share, and we know Dan's got a story to share as well. We're going to speak to Dan in the new year. He's booked in to chat with us in February, so cannot wait for that. So big shout out to Dan, who I'm sure will be listening.
Can I say something about Dan very quick?
Please do.
I'm really glad that you brought Dan up, Shaz. Dan is a beautiful man, and this, again, is what I believe was meant to be. So Dan came along on one of our walks, and I just remember when I first met him, I knew instantly there was something about him that resonated with me. So as we got talking on the walk, it became apparent that Dan works in the same industry as me. So I work in construction. Again, I could probably talk so much about construction and the toxicity of construction and working in that environment, but I won't. And Dan just expresses things in a way that makes sense. he comes across so powerfully, so beautifully, and what he shares with me is like a common thing. I don't know how to say it, but we just bounce off each other, and he supports me and I support him, and he's very passionate about this space that we hold for men and getting men out there to openly talk. So Dan is a massive asset to Fancy a Walk, mate. You know, he's come along at the right time to help now move this on to the next stage and to support the movement.
It's absolutely brilliant. And I know that both myself and Ben cannot wait to catch up with Dan in early 2023. James, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat. Thank you so much. I think aside from your own story as well, which is just so, so helpful and inspiring to everybody, but to young men in particular. And I think what you're doing in the recovery space is so, so important. If there's somebody listening to this now that, you know, is where you were a few years ago, they want to get involved in your walks, they want to bathe in nature, find out more about what you do alongside Dan, where can they get all the information, James?
Firstly, just to say to those guys, you know, men, I'm here for you. You can find me on the Lunar Mountains on Instagram and Lunar Mountains on Facebook. If you could just like and follow and then send me a DM, I'll always respond with a voice note, because our voice gives power and it allows me to connect to you on a deeper level. We also have a private Facebook group, which again is for men only. And if you search for Fancy a Walk, Mate on Facebook, it should pop up on a private group. And if you request to join, I will add you into that. And that's where all the men share everything that's going on for them, from motivation to inspiration to struggles and worries and tools and techniques of what they're doing that's helping them at the moment.
We can say this now, Ben. Merry flipping Christmas, James.
And you know what? I'm so excited again for another sober Christmas, because, you know, you guys were saying it at the beginning. It's beautiful, isn't it? Just being clear-headed and having that clarity around Christmas and just being able to connect to the beautiful season, the festive season, enjoying it, you know, and it's amazing. I'm looking forward to it.
And I've really enjoyed as well. You did say right at the beginning of this podcast you were going to use the word beautiful many, many times. Ben, have you been counting? Loads. Absolutely loads. Love it.
Nice one. It's been a pleasure, guys. Really has. I'm so pleased that we had this, had the time tonight to do this. And, you know, what you guys are doing is amazing. It really is. And I try not to use the term guy, because you're not a guy, are you, Sharon? You're
listen,
female,
come
you're
on what you like. I've been called a lot over the years, James. It's not a problem.
Same here. No, but thank you very much.
I really, really enjoyed that, Ben. What a lovely chat. If you would like to find out more about what James does with his groups, with his Lunar Mountains, with his Fancy a Walk, Mate? I really love that. Either drop us a line. I'm honestly so easily pleased. Drop us a line or just look James up on socials. Just search for hashtag Fancy a Walk, Mate, or Lunar Mountains on Instagram as well. Talking all things mountains, Ben, talking about what we are doing next year with OTI Outdoor Adventures. Just to reiterate, it's not me and Ben, you know, sticking on a high vis.
We're there.
We're absolutely there. We are there physically at most of these events. It isn't myself and Ben with a backpack on and 2 litres of water saying, right, follow us. We'll take you to the top of some of the UK's highest mountains.
Yeah, sure.
Just follow us and be right. What could possibly go wrong? At lots. Yeah. That's why we have qualified mountain leaders taking you on these expeditions. First aid qualified, mountain guides qualified. And as well, I think it's really important to say, Ben, the majority of people that join us on the OTI Outdoor Adventures, they come on their own. There's not many that come with a partner or come with a friend. It's people meeting people, IRL, in real life, within the community that initially, you know, that they've connected with online through the forums, through the chat with OVInfluence. So if you're listening to this thinking, oh, God, I couldn't possibly. You absolutely could, because you could well have myself and Ben holding your hand. Literally, if you like, you know, if you so wish. But there's a team of people just like you that do these events on their own. And safe to say, and I'm not just making this up, this is feedback we've had from the events we've done early this year. Absolutely flipping life-changing stuff.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick look at the website now, Shaz, overtheinfluence.co.uk. We're going to the Malvern Hills. We're doing England's highest mountain. We're hiking and rock climbing in the Peak District. We're going on a mixed craft expedition. Don't know what that means. Probably should, bearing in mind it's our thing.
I'll tell you what it means.
Mixed craft expedition down the River Wye, yeah?
So it's paddleboards, canoes, kayaks. I don't think it's rafts.
I don't want to build my own.
We're not doing any of that, Shaz.
We're doing the Edel Skyline. We're going to the Brecon Beacons as well next year. There is nothing better than meeting OTIers, over the influencers, IRL, in real life. AF, OTIers, IRL, OMG.
Oh, that's just
it's
in my head.
FAB. So if you want to join us and be part of our lovely but slightly odd, because it is, you know, it's, you just met a load of weirdos on the internet, is what one person...
Slightly odd!
You're my weird internet friends. Slightly odd, but you know what? You listen to us every single week, so you know what we're like.
Exactly.
It's basically, loads more people like us in the community. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. It's a fabulous place to be, especially around this time of year as well. If you're gearing up for a 2023 without the booze, then get on OTI. Zoom calls, loads of them next year, Shaz, because I've booked a load more in.
Yes, I know
Zoom
you have.
Calls, forums, events, it is just the business. So yeah, go and have a look. Overtheinfluence.co.uk. And Sharon, even though it's the holidays, we're getting an episode out next week, aren't we?
Of course we are. Absolutely we are. We will never not be here. It might be a little bit chaotic, might be a little bit frazzled around the edges. Not the episode, just us. But yes, there'll be another episode.
It's the Boxing Day. It's Divina.
It is. It's
Great.
Weird Christmas week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cannot
Christmas gooch.
Don't. I Googled that, by the way.
Don't Google it.
And I can't unsee.
Yeah. I hope you have a fabulous Christmas day, and we'll see you next week on Boxing Day.
Merry Christmas, everyone.